Not on the surface, seemed to be a missionary message, but believe me, it is. I want to talk to you about the essence of the Christian life. What is the Christian life all about? And the theme verse I've taken out of this passage, Paul says, forgetting the past and reaching out for the future, here and around the world, I want to read this portion again for us as we refresh our minds before we look into it together. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. What we've attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and the glory in their shame. With minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, we're trusting your Spirit to apply it to the need of each heart. Lord, if there might be a person here who has never personally repented from their sin, they've never personally asked the Lord Jesus to come into their lives and save them, they've never realized that Jesus died in their place on the cross, that today for them might be the day of salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an interesting portion of Scripture. Paul has just gone through a whole list of his qualifications as a Jew, what he did, all he had accomplished in his life before coming face to face to the Lord Jesus, with the Lord Jesus. And so he says, forgetting the past, I need to reach forward to the future. First of all, in verse 12, knowing Christ for us as believers does not mean perfection, but it means that we have a desire to grow and to follow the Lord with more obedience. Now, soon we will experientially be complete in him. We'll be with him. We don't know how soon. It might be today. I was glad to play the trumpet. That's not the trumpet sound we're going to hear someday. It'll be much better. But we're waiting for that. Now, at conversion, we're freed from sin's condemnation. We're no longer condemned in Christ. As we grow spiritually, we are freed from the power of sin in our life. You know what's great as a believer? Now we can say no to sin. Unfortunately, you don't always do that. But we can. We can say no to sin. And someday we will actually be free from the presence of sin when we're with our Savior. And I think of how God in these years has blessed our ministry to see people freed from bondage, the bondage of sin in their lives. In 1973, when we stepped on that airplane, it was a very scary time. I could still see my mom standing in the glass window looking out toward our plan, crying, holding my brother who had just turned 9 that day in her arms, and they're both weeping as we left. It was not easy. And to arrive in Italy and not speak a word of Italian. I remember we heard men, and they would say, Louis, Louis, Louis. I think, boy, a lot of guys named Louis here. Well, in Italian, Louis just means he, okay? So, but we started, and we studied, and we learned the language. In 1975, we did a short furlough, and Jonathan was born here. And we went back in the fall and began a home Bible study. We had two ladies who had come to know the Lord earlier in their lives, and we began a Bible study with them. And we had opened a little gospel hall in 1976, 950 square feet. It was not half of this auditorium. And we'd have 5 people. Of course, I had children, so that upped the numbers a little bit. We didn't know what in the world God was going to do. And then in 1979, and this would be a long story, I won't take it this morning, but the Lord miraculously opened up a television ministry for us, which, by the way, is still on the air daily after all these years. In 1979, that was February of 1979. In 1981, the Lord provided for us to begin Radio Luce, and we are our own Christian FM station broadcasting in central Italy and on the internet around the world for 38 years. And in 2019, unfortunately, mainly because of financial issues, we had to close the radio station. But God knew, and it was an important part of our ministry. If you go to our church today, half of our people will even have known us and the Lord either through the radio or through the television ministry. So it was a great thing. And in 1984, we had our first baptisms. 9 years after we had begun our Bible study. 9 years. And one of them was our son Jonathan, who now is one of the pastors of the church. In 1986, we were able to organize into a local fellowship, and with a constitution and everything. Now, when you join our church, you sign the doctrinal statement, your agreement, in agreement with it. And then in 1994, I'll jump ahead a little bit, we had our last new missionaries to Italy outside our family. They lasted 1 year and they were gone. We've not had new missionaries to Italy outside our family since 1994. In 2004, the Lord incredibly gave us the opportunity to buy property, about $500,000. We had 20 members, and most of them were ladies, husbands that were unsaved, not attending. They cleaned houses, they did everything, cared for elderly. But we voted, and I said, we knew how much the mortgage was going to be every month, which miraculously the bank offered us a mortgage, can you imagine, our little group. And I said, whatever you will pledge before the Lord to put in the offering above what you're now giving, because we already had expenses, rental and light and everything, and we added it all up, including the rent we were going to get from part of the building. It was exactly what our mortgage payment was going to be. And so we took that step of faith. The month before COVID shut everything down in Italy, and we didn't meet for like 3 months, we made our last payment on our mortgage. Praise God how he undertook for us there. In 2004 or 2005, Jonathan came back with Melody and So they've been working with us, and soon Daniel and Elizabeth as well. So God has blessed us over the years. But as we've preached the gospel, we've seen people come to know Christ. They're not perfect. And I wish I'd tell you all the people that God has brought to himself, but they desire to grow and be faithful. In verse 12, we also see that we walk with God, and that means growing in the faith. I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. Why do we want to grow in faith? Because we've been claimed by the Lord Jesus. We do not, we're not our own. We do not own ourselves. We're his property. So we want to grow for his glory. And we praise God for the spiritual growth we've seen in our people. You know, the Italian culture, the women do the religion. If you go to a big funeral, the men are all outside smoking. The women are inside at the funeral. That's just the way our culture works. So to see men come to faith, and we prayed for years. God gave us, we baptized 6 or 7 men in 1 year. It was incredible. And we have some wonderful men. We now have deacons that walk with God, that serve God faithfully. We're praying for a non-missionary pastor future for our church. Walking with God, though, means we grow in the faith. It means going forward, not backwards. And if you're not going forward in your faith, you're going backwards. Like one of those, we've been through so many of these airports, and you know, they have this little thing that goes forward. You stand still and you go forward. Well, our life is like one in reverse. If you stand still, you'll go backwards. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. Verse 12 as well talks about continuing, pressing on in the faith. When I was a kid, we had a, back in the 60s, we had a word, I've not heard it much lately, stick-to-itiveness. It means when you take a job, you keep at it. You don't quit when it gets difficult. You just keep going. And you know, the Christian life is not easy. But if God has saved us, if we've understood what Jesus did for us on the cross, he's going to give us the grace and the strength to go forward, And we will do that as we are faithful in the word every day and spending time before the Lord in prayer. And, of course, fellowship in the local assembly. In verse 13, it talks about running with Christ, going forward with Christ. I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. And here there's a beautiful image from the world of sports. I have to confess, I wrestled, but I hated running. I hated every step of running to get in shape. Well, here it talks about the runners as they do the 100-yard dash, 200-yard dash. What do they do when they start getting close to the finish line? Have you ever noticed? They just stretch out. They want to get their nose across that line before the next guy. And as we think about what God wants us to do in this little church or around the world, some job he has for us, are we slow about doing it? Oh boy, I've got to go clean the church. I've got to do this. Or are we reaching out? I can't wait. I can't wait to get there and serve God in that way. Reaching out, stretching forward. But to do this, we have to forget the past. You know, all of us have failed in our lives for the Lord. All of us. And if we dwell on the past, dwell on past failures, dwell on past disappointments. People have let us down. And if we dwell on the past, we're not going to stretch forward. We have to reach forward for the Lord in our lives. Verse 16 talks about growing and becoming more mature. let us hold true what we have attained. You know, as we come to church each week, it's not just to listen to a nice sermon. It's to take the word and to say, Lord, how can I apply that to my life this week to grow, be more mature? So growing in the Lord is going to mean going forward. Paul talks about that in Romans 1:17, where he talks about from faith to faith. What's that mean? Well, the act of faith when we trust Christ as Savior, but that's the only that's only the beginning. Then we're going to go from little faith to big faith. What's that mean? It means when the Lord sends difficulties, things in your life you don't appreciate, you're sad about, tragedies, health issues, whatever might come, those things are in our lives for our growth, for God's glory. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say, ah, praise God, when everything's going great. But when things are just falling apart and you have a bad report from the doctor and you're struggling with a lot of issues, to say, praise God, I know he's in control. When you can do that, when you can praise God in your illness, in your bad situations, in front of a lost world, they're looking at you, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I know that he saved me. And I know that he has a plan for my life. And I know that I can grow. I tell our people, whenever a Christian ends up in the hospital, it's because there's somebody there who needs a testimony from you. And in our pain, in our difficulty, to be able to say, I thank God for my life and for what he's doing in my life. That makes a great impression on a lost person. So we're growing in faith, going forward. And verse 17 says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. How easy it is for us to put our eyes on the bad examples. We need to keep our eyes on the good examples, those who are following Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, we can't do like the Roman Catholic priests. They say all the time from the altar, they say, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. We need to be faithful as we walk with God, and we need to follow those. I remember as a child, one of the greatest influences in my life was reading Bible biographies of Christian men, Christian women, people who had been used of God, reading those books and saying, wow, maybe you could do that for me too, God. And I have to say, when we wrote down our story in our book, that was one of the ideas. God has done so much for us. In fact, I wrote the book after I had my series of mini strokes. I didn't know if I'd talk anymore. God has done so much for us. We need to share that with us for his glory. And so as we encourage our grandchildren, let's get them good books to read. Now, my grandkids are into Pokemon cards and all that kind of stuff. Well, let's get them something good to read so they can learn about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. So we need to conform to Christ as we see the example of those around about us who follow him. And the word imitate and the word follow, they're pretty close. That means you keep your eyes on the Lord, as it says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We don't want to get lost following people, but by the same token, as there are people around us who are faithful, who are walking with God, who have a history of being blessed by God, we need to follow their example of faith, trusting God as they have trusted him in their lives. However, as we conform to Christ, now we're going to come to kind of a little sad part in this message. We need to identify, as Christ does, those who walk as enemies of Christ. And we've all seen people who have turned away from the truth, who've chosen sin rather than sanctification. And we need to identify them. And here we talk about something very difficult, the word discipline. Now, in our culture, the children are not disciplined. I mean, it's nothing to see a 3 or 4 year old screaming at her mother in the store, telling her what she is to buy and what she's not to buy. And the mother, okay. Discipline is not a fun word. But you know, the book of Proverbs says, as a child is left to himself, he will bring shame to his parents. And I think of parents who think it's funny when their kids or their grandparents or grandchildren use curse words and they laugh at them. A child that's not corrected is going to bring shame and sorrow to his parents. And it's the same in the local church. We're all children of God, but we're under the authority of a local church. We're all bonded together in a local church. And when there's someone who's not walking according to God's word, and nobody says anything, let's let him go, whatever, it will not help the church. It will hurt the church. And so times when the leadership of the church has to step in and challenge people about choices that they are making. I remember when we first got started, you know, so hard, so few people. You don't want to offend anybody. And there were some situations that I was just kind of watching and not being active about. And I happened to go to a pastor's conference where Dr. MacArthur was preaching. And he was preaching on biblical church discipline. And I thought, wow. Well, I came home from that conference and started applying that biblical discipline. And I remember some of the ladies, she's with the Lord now, Maria, as I was talking about disciplining some men who were sowing discord in the church, her eyes got big, like, wow, what's going to happen now? And praise God, some of them repented and were brought back into fellowship. It was wonderful. Others didn't. They went their way. But the church grew because of that. So discipline is something very important in our lives. And when a believer risks friendship to say, you know, the Lord's put something on my heart, and I know I have a lot of weaknesses myself, but, you know, do you think this choice that you're making right now is according to God's word? When somebody challenges us, we need to say, thank you so much. I needed that. We don't become offended about it. So in a local church, we need to be willing to identify, as the Lord does, people who are walking disorderly. And he doesn't say they are enemies of Christ. So I happen to believe that these were people, some of them maybe were in the fellowship, but he says they're acting like enemies of Christ. And when we, with our actions and with our mouth, are acting against the local fellowship, we're doing Satan's job. What does Satan do? He's the accuser of the brethren. And when we start doing that, we're acting like him. And he says, they act like they were enemies of Christ. And the people who go down that path and don't get help and don't repent and don't turn back do not have a very wonderful future. In fact, Paul says, first of all, their end is destruction. Now, this makes me believe they weren't believers, but Paul said there were also believers, disorderly believers, who slept, who were already with the Lord as a consequence of their disbelief and their unfaithfulness. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They're living for temporal things, worldly pleasures. Their glory is their shame. Things they glory in, they think so proud about. Well, if you look at it in the right way, it's very shameful what's happening. And then their soul, he says, is fixed on earthly things that will all be destroyed. They'll all be gone. When the Lord calls us, we're not taking anything with us. So as we build up treasures, we're leaving them so our family can fight and divide and be angry with one another because they don't get what they think they should have gotten. And then finally, Paul ends his passage talking about believers, what it means to be a Christian. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. My dad always, he was a pastor for many years. He's been with the Lord now for almost 15 years. He would always say, I'm waiting for the upper taker, not the undertaker. And as believers, we're waiting for that day when we'll be caught away. We'll be caught away because our citizenship is in heaven. Well, you know, when your citizenship is in heaven, what that means is that you're really not at home here. Now, we've been living in Italy for 50 years, and we consider ourselves Italians in many ways, but believe me, when the American soccer team steps on the field playing against Italy, deep down, we're really hoping they'll do well. Sometimes, although our citizenship is in heaven, we're rooting for the other team. I used to tell our people, last Sunday, 25 members voted to close the church. They say, what? We didn't vote on that. And I say, everybody who we did not come to church that day was casting their vote to close the church. And so many times, we know we're citizens of heaven, but sometimes we're really acting like we're rooting for the other team. Our Savior, then he says, is coming from heaven. He's going to come from there and get us and take us home to be with him. He's on the way. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Now, as a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, we know now how quickly that is for him, or for us it seems like a long time. But he's coming. And when that happens, Paul says, our transformation will make us similar to him. We will be like him. We will be like him because he will transform us. When I was a kid in our home, I was a pastor's kid. One thing that meant for us was that every time missionaries came through, they stayed with us. For some reason, the other families, they were a little bit, maybe they thought their house wasn't nice enough, or maybe they just didn't want to bother people in the home. And so our family, we got to keep all these missionaries. That was wonderful. We loved it. We'd sit around and hear their stories. And in my home, my dad and mom had a sign, a little plaque in the living room. I can still see it. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Did you know that was written by a missionary? His name was C.T. Studd. And I found the entire poem that he wrote. This was just part of a poem. And I want to read that to you in closing. It just helps us as believers to realize where we need to put the emphasis of our lives. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I'm dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. May that be the prayer of our hearts today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times when we, as your children, as citizens of heaven, have our minds fixed on this earth and this world's goods. Help us to live our lives for your glory so that we can be a testimony to those round about us who are lost, headed for a Christless eternity, and they need to see in our lives that we are living for eternity alone. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.